The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Donald Trump did do 10 points better in 2020 than he did in 2016, right? And I think many people dismissed that, right? Many people just saw the banner of Joe Biden winning, that's 60% of Latino voters. But I think that 10% shift is really important. When we think of 2020, we heard that story of communism every single day, right? Many Latino voters chose Trumpism because of that fear and because of that trauma. And they made many people believe that a vote for Joe Biden was a vote for communists. Communism is nowhere close in the United States, as we know. And I think the question for us is that paranoia of communism really blinding them so much that they're unable to see sort of like the real problems in this country? Almost every single person that we talked to, including the woman that you saw on the screen, every single one of them was a former Democrat, believed that they had to be a Democrat. At one point, they had voted for Obama. And I think that is at least the heart of what is driving many of these Latino voters, this disenchantment with the Democratic Party. And yes, I think these culture wars and what you're seeing now is sort of uncovering these very innate social conservative values that many Latinos do have. And maybe now with Trump, they feel okay saying that with pride.
Social conservative values that many Latinos have, and they feel comfortable with Donald Trump. Trump scored 10 points, a 10-point gain in 2020 over 2016. And what's amazing to me, this woman's making the rounds because I guess she has a special on NBC or the Peacock Channel, whatever, tonight. But what's amazing is that this is NBC. This is MSNBC interviewing this reporter. And, of course, they're bringing the left-wing bias, as you would suppose. But when they stick to the facts, as they go around Florida, as they interview one Latino voter after another, you see how popular Donald Trump is with minorities. That's astounding. We'll get into that and much more here in the first segment of The Trumpet Daily. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show, CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. Every day it brings you the live stream. Every weekday, I should say, it brings you the live stream, 11 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone of the United States. You have to make the adjustment depending on where you live. Of course, if you miss the live stream, you can always get to the podcast. Those are all posted at our website, thetrumpet.com. To get to the live video stream of this show, of course, you go to thetrumpet.com page, the home page, or go to thetrumpet.com/live. Takes you right to the live stream page. So I think it's important to point out here that these communists in charge, and notice, too, how much you're hearing about communism. Now, the MSNBC talking heads reject it. They think it's paranoia. They think it's a conspiracy theory coming from the conservative side. But over and again, voters are speaking the truth to this woman as she's making the rounds in Florida. Yes, I believe the election was stolen. Some of them in her special point out how that the stolen election was the turning point for them. And that swung them over to Donald Trump. An important point to be made in all of this is that those in control right now, when you look at the country at large, they're not in the majority. It's a tiny sliver, these communists, that they do have control. The swamp is deep. You saw it from the Sussman trial. 92.5% of residents in D.C. vote Democrat. So you're not going to get a fair jury. Not in that region, not in the swamp. But that doesn't represent all of America. That, as I say, that's just a tiny, tiny portion. This is from the Washington Examiner. Joe Biden approval falls below every modern president. That's the title. It says here, President Joe Biden finally did it. The lackluster leader's approval rating has fallen below every president of the modern era at this stage of their term. Every single one. Day 490, as it says there. The article says, citing approval polling dating back to Harry S. Truman in 1945, 538 said that no president has been below or even equal to Biden's average of 40.9% on day 490. Former presidents Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, and Gerald Ford had lower average approval ratings at some stage early in their presidencies, but Biden has caught up, and today's average was the first for which he was below all presidents since Truman. A potentially troubling trend as Democrats ready for the midterm election. Well, I should say, a troubling trend indeed. No wonder, speaking of MSNBC or NBC, the big reveal as we covered yesterday on the show this week, all this turmoil in the Biden White House, Biden angry at his advisors. You haven't given me the right information so that we can bring down inflation. Listen, Biden, you're a puppet. This is all part of the attack. This is not incompetence. This is treason, as we wrote back after the Afghanistan pullout in August. It's not incompetence. It's all part of the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. And it certainly does not have the enthusiastic support of a majority of Americans. Listen to this from Fox News last night. This is clip 4.
There are more blacks running for office right now as Republicans for Congress, for other seats across the country than ever before. Democrats fear this. The blacks have turned around in this country, or many blacks have said enough is enough. We want our economy, our community, our education. We want to grow up to be like a DeRoy Murdoch. We want to see success.
These are black Republicans running for office. I saw a headline the other day saying that if Herschel Walker wins the Senate race in Georgia, that there would conceivably be more black Republicans in the Senate than black Democrats. How is this possible? When has the Democrat Party, or when has a prominent Democrat lost the minority vote? Certainly not all minorities are swinging to the Republican side. But for Donald Trump to gain 10 points over 2016, and then somehow he lost, okay, forget about the 81 million ballots that Joe Biden got for a moment. How many of them were fake? Millions upon millions, but we'll leave that aside. The fact is that Donald Trump, he secured millions and millions of more votes, including from the Latino community. And here is this commentator on Fox News last night saying, look, we've got Republicans coming out of the woodwork supporting conservative values. They're waking up. Candace Owens is reporting this as often as she can on Fox and on her program. She's on a mission to try to awaken her race. And more of them are waking up. Even Latinos living close to the border, even Latinos in Uvalde, Texas. The mayor of that city, by the way, said that there were something like 42 lockdowns over the past year, not because of COVID, but because of the drug cartels sending their mules, to use the term that Engelbrecht did in the video by Dinesh D'Souza, using their mules. They're running through town. There's shootouts, car chases. They have to shut down the schools in Uvalde. Time and time again. I mean, there's Latinos that are American citizens that are angry about what's happening at the southern border. And yet the Democrats, these radicals, these communists, they continue on. They continue on with all of this malicious intent to destroy, to bring down the United States, to attack the Constitution. This is just following on yesterday. We started the show yesterday with that montage on the dreadful economic numbers. Listen to this one from NBC, clip 5.
We begin with the backlash over inflation. A new NBC News poll showing 71% of Americans disapprove of President Biden's handling of the rising cost of living. And a lot of people won't like to hear this. Gas prices now reaching a new all-time high, $4.67 a gallon. Get this, up 5 cents since yesterday.
And so, as many commentators have noted, the skyrocketing inflation, that's like an oppressive tax on poor people in particular. Americans are getting poorer by the day, especially poor Americans that can't afford $4.67 when they go to the pump. There was a clip of a guy in California, Southern California. He laughingly said, I just paid $140 to fill up my van, my truck. $140? Maybe in Europe, but in the United States? And coming into the busy travel season, the summer of 2022, and Biden himself, as we'll get to later, he said yesterday, look, it's going to continue to go up. Food costs, fuel costs, that's just the reality. It's just going to keep going up. 71% not happy with Biden? No wonder he's unhappy with his staff. Suddenly he's unhappy with being the puppet. Suddenly the blame is, that's NBC. All of these are major mainstream networks. They're the communist networks. For once in their lives reporting the truth. This is from, I forget which network. This is Biden himself. Listen to this, clip one.
Because of a war in Ukraine, gas prices and food prices are extremely high. There's a lot going on right now. But the idea we're going to be able to, click a switch, bring down the cost of gasoline is not likely in the near term, nor is it with regard to food.
It's not likely in the near term. Well, that's you think you can campaign on that message for the midterms? 2 seconds ago, they were saying, it's just transitory. This is going to last for a little while. I mean, the economic numbers are great. There he is. I mean, he's telling the truth there. It's not going to change in the near term. Prices are going to continue to go up. His advisors are telling him, look, this is to carry out our Green New Deal policies. You know, we can't start drilling more. So there's going to be more costs on average ordinary Americans. $4.67. It's like, as that NBC report brings out, 5 cents in one day, 5 cents over yesterday. That's how fast it's going up. Here's Fox Business reporting on people delaying their retirement because of these dreadful numbers. Clip two.
This was in the Post today. Inflation will force 25% of Americans to delay retirement. That's according to a survey. They're not specifically citing which one there. But 25% of Americans, if you live on a fixed income or you're about to retire and you have watched the stock market tank since, you know, the beginning of this year, essentially, you're feeling a lot of pain.
Who do you think these people are going to vote for? The ones that are having to put off their retirement because of the economy under Joe Biden. Stolen elections, they have consequences. Look at what damage has been done in 16 months. Who is behind this? Well, you know, if you've listened to this program, Barack Obama, he's just rubbing his hands together down in the basement, calling the shots. And who's made to look like a fool, an incompetent fool? That would be Joe Biden. It's perfect. It's the perfect plan coming from Antiochus. Of course. Of course. This is all playing out exactly the way he wants it to. Fundamental transformation. Listen to Janet Yellen. She the other day, she said, yeah, I guess we did get it wrong on inflation. This is clip six.
I think I was wrong then about the path that inflation would take. As I mentioned, there have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly that I didn't fully understand.
Listen to what Sundance says over at Conservative Treehouse. It says, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen has more financial and analytical resources at her fingertips than thousands of hedge funds combined. She's got access to all the information. And there she is. It's so bad. She comes out and says, I think I was wrong about the path of inflation, the path that we were on regarding inflation. How could she be so wrong? How is she still in office? I mean, we'll leave that aside too, I guess. But she's there and she's basically saying, we were incompetent. We got it wrong. It's a convenient excuse, isn't it? You can always fall back on, just like with the baby food formula. I didn't hear until after April. Even though all of this was in motion back in November, October of last year, and the plant closes, when was it, in February? And then there's Joe Biden. Hey, I didn't know what was going on. It's a lot better to say we were incompetent than to say, you know, there's a puppet master behind all of this with malicious intent. Sundance says here, the illusion of incompetence plays into the scheme of hiding the fact that the administration is working through a purposeful strategy. You see, Sundance gets it. This is a purposeful strategy, and this is what we wrote about back in the October issue of the Trumpet. This is not incompetence. This is treason. It says here, in the game of pretending and under the current circumstances, it is better to be seen as incompetent than recognized as working with malicious intent. This is the illusion behind Joe Biden's usefulness. See, Biden takes the hits, and they're coming fast and furious now. He takes the hits, and Obama's smiling like the Joker in the basement. I mean, he knows this is working out perfectly. It says here, this is also the organized pretending game within D.C. that too few people will accept or admit. The Treasury Secretary and Federal Reserve Chairman are not making mistakes. They are working on a specific agenda and economic plan. It says Fed Chairman Jerome Powell was not late to raise interest rates. He waited on purpose. He waited for the political reason of waiting until the triggered 2021 inflation spike cycled through the full calendar year. See, he's waiting on Obama. Obama's calling these shots. Now rates are starting to go up. It's so bad. And then they claim, well, we didn't quite expect this. We didn't quite read the numbers right. But we're going to make it right now. We've got all the solutions in place now. Obama's going to milk this for as long as he can. Of course he is. He vowed to fundamentally transform the United States of America. He thinks all whites in America are racist. He thinks the whole nation was established on the premise of racism. So he wants to bring down the system. He despises the Constitution and the constraints that are embedded into that document. So he wants to destroy it all and start anew with his Marxist utopia. You hear them talking about their policies, and it's as if we're already in the utopia. They love it. Oh, yeah, $6 a gallon for gas means more electric cars. It says here, these are not monetary policy leaders making monetary policy mistakes. These are monetary policy political ideologues carrying out a political agenda within the U.S. economy. It says, this is part of what National Economic Council Chairman Brian Deese would call the economic transition. See, every once in a while, they say the quiet part out loud. This is all part of the economic transition. This is all part of our transition over to the Green New Deal. Biden, you see, is the perfect puppet because coming in, Obama knew he's incompetent. And now, of course, he's losing it even as far as his mental capacities go. So he's the perfect fall guy. What did Biden say years ago? It was laced with profanity. But it was basically, Obama, I should say. He said about Biden years ago, this was in someone's book that wrote about the first and second terms of Barack Obama. He says that Joe Biden messes everything up. Everything! So why would Obama anoint him during the Democrat primaries a couple years back when Bernie Sanders had more popular support? Answer, he's the perfect incompetent puppet. He's the perfect one for MSNBC to be talking about the Latino vote, embracing Donald Trump. Donald Trump, MSNBC has been telling us, is Adolf Hitler. How could this be? Well, because more and more Latinos believe that these are communist agents in the Democrat Party. These are communist agents presiding over the school systems in the United States. These are communist agents that are just ramrodding their woke policies into little elementary schools. It's amazing to watch. America is under attack. But here is the perfect puppet. Of course. Of course. I mean, and more the media, they're not buying it. The incompetence plea. But over and again, they keep coming out with this. Look, it caught us by surprise. We didn't know what was going on. But now we're wise to it, and we're going to fix this. Here's Biden yesterday explaining how he handled or why he didn't handle the baby formula crisis earlier. This is clip 12. The last, in case you didn't hear it, the last reporter says, didn't the CEOs of these baby formula companies, that is, didn't the CEOs just tell you they understood back in the last months of 2021 that it would have a very big impact? I forget this plant. I believe it. This plant that was shut down by the FDA was the largest producer of baby formula. So anybody with a brain understands that that's going to have a huge impact. And what does he say? Didn't the CEOs just tell you that they understood it would have a very big impact? Biden, they did, but I didn't. I'm not even quite sure what that means. They did, but I didn't? In other words, it's basically a way of saying, I didn't know. He goes on to say in that same clip, I didn't know about any of this until sometime after April, he says. After April of this year. That's when the formula at stores was already, the shelves were emptying. And there's the president of the United States. He's a fake one, but still, he occupies the White House. It's the perfect plan coming from Antiochus. Of course, just say incompetence. Just go out there and say incompetence. Incompetence, incompetence, incompetence. And we can carry on with malicious intent this fundamental transformation of the United States of America, which has, it certainly does not have a majority of support from Americans. Here's Jake Tapper. He's not buying into the incompetence excuse. Clip 3.
So the whistleblower complained in the fall. The FDA waited till December to act, waited until February to shut the plant down. President Biden wasn't told about it until April. You don't think any of that should have been done more quickly or sooner? You think everything just went exactly how it's supposed to? I don't need the FDA to investigate itself to come to the judgment that they did not act quickly enough. And on behalf of all the frustrated moms and dads and guardians out there, I hope you don't either.
So yeah, now there's going to be some kind of internal investigation to tell us that, yeah, a couple of things could have been done better. But for the most part, you know, our intent was perfect. Yeah, no malicious intent whatsoever. It was just perfect. A little bit of incompetence, but hey, we've got it under control now. And Biden learned about it in April, and all the wheels are in motion now. It's working perfectly. This is from that Trumpet article we wrote October of last year. This is following the Afghanistan withdrawal. And many commentators at the time were saying, "What? This is a gross level of incompetence like we've never seen." And the trumpet came out and said, no, no, not incompetence. It's treason. To leave Americans stranded? To sacrifice 13 Marines for nothing? To hand over this arsenal to the Taliban? The Taliban, of all things. It says here in the trumpet, many people say it proves Joe Biden's incompetence, but this catastrophe isn't the result of bungling and bad judgment. It's a deliberate, planned effort to destroy America, and it's been terribly successful. It's like Sundance says at Conservative Treehouse, you have to view everything through this prism. When you see Janet Yellen coming on the news saying that I did get it wrong, you know, you're heartened by that. Well, at least there's someone there admitting that they got it wrong. But like Sundance brings out, she has access to more analytical information on the economy than anybody in the nation. She's the Treasury Secretary. How could she get it so wrong? How could this go on for so many months? I mean, we were playing clips for you last summer about the skyrocketing costs for used cars and food and so on. And here we are. We're into June now. I was going to say May, but we're already into June of 2022. It's gone on for more than 12 months. It says here, many people see the damage President Biden is doing. The most clear-eyed analysts recognize that there must be malicious intent behind it. There's that word, malicious. Malicious intent. Sundance just yesterday talked about how that the incompetence, that's the excuse put forward, and it's intended to hide, to conceal the malicious intent behind their push to fundamentally transform the United States of America. It says here, these actions truly can't be explained any other way. My father says here, I've written extensively on how for 8 years the Obama administration was working dangerously against America's interest and why. It says, with a background in radicalism, Marxism, and communism, President Obama enacted a series of policies that wreaked havoc on the nation. And he goes through and lists them all off. And many of them are continuing to this day, even worse than when my father wrote about it last year, certainly worse than when we wrote about it in America Under Attack. That came out in 2013. It says here, what Joe Biden did in Afghanistan is a continuation of the disastrous anti-American policies of Barack Obama. Listen to this. 8 years ago, this is my father talking about AUA. 8 years ago, during the Obama presidency, I wrote America Under Attack. It explains the reason behind these ruinous policies. I wrote, this is from AUA, many people can see that these are disastrous decisions, but we must understand that this isn't simply the result of ineptitude on the part of the administration or naivete about how the world really works. We are seeing the after effects of a calculated, aggressive, satanic attack aimed at weakening and ultimately destroying the nations of Israel, starting with the world's most powerful nation. That's in this booklet, America Under Attack. Came out in 2013, almost 10 years ago. We're updating it. We're expanding it, as you know. We're going to make that available just as soon as is possible. But that's tomorrow's news today. And these chapters were first in the Trumpet magazine. If you don't have a subscription to that magazine yet, call our operators 1-866-930-3024. It's all part of the attack on America. My father says that booklet, AUA, exposes the spiritual reality behind these terrible actions. Satan, the devil, is working to bring down America. Many biblical scriptures explain and underscore this truth. You cannot grasp the malevolent intent behind Barack Obama's actions without recognizing this. You can't really understand world events, certainly not events in the United States, unless you understand the truth that's contained in America Under Attack. This spirit of Antiochus, it says here, and listen to this, most people, however, are only looking at the surface. All the blame and anger over the Afghanistan fiasco is being directed almost solely at Joe Biden. People are failing to see the bigger picture. I believe, Listen to this. This is the Trumpet Magazine, tomorrow's news today. I believe Barack Obama intended Biden to take the flak for what has happened here. And it's the same today. It's the same with respect to the baby formula. It's the same with respect to inflation. It's the same with respect to fuel costs, the southern border. Joe Biden is the fall guy over and over and over again. And it's happening so much, so frequently at this point, that even Biden himself is beginning to say, hang on a second, I'm not sure I like being the puppet here. How come you on my staff are not giving me some information that might help turn around some of these bad inflation numbers? I mean, you have to think, and don't get me wrong on this, because Joe Biden is a convert to radical, radical thinking. He's a radical ideologue for sure. He's been influenced by this communist ideologue or this communist ideology in the Democrat Party. But you have to assume he's been in the Congress for half his life. Served as vice president, now the president. You have to assume there's at least a little bit of self-interest at play here where he wants to be considered, you know, a pretty good president or pro-American. There's none of that in Barack Obama. The fundamental transformation is about destruction. It's about blotting out America. And here's O'Biden, Biden, that's wising up to the fact that he's being blamed for everything. That, according to NBC, it says here, following the comment, it says here, he really believed it was best for America, and now this man is rashly carrying out this policy in the worst way possible, both to humiliate America and to empower our enemies. This is talking about, again, the Afghanistan withdrawal. My father writes here, I do not know exactly how this was orchestrated, but it has all fulfilled Mr. Obama's desires perfectly. He's behind it all. He's behind the election steal. He's behind the COVID pretext. He's behind the lockdown mania, the scaremongering. He was behind the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. He's the one that empowered Hillary to use the DOJ and all of those government agencies to attack Donald Trump. Barack Obama was in charge. He was the president when all of that was going on, when all of that got started. And then it's like he's the shadow president from 2017 to 2020, still attacking Donald Trump. As some of the revelations, Sussman didn't get convicted, but look at the revelations that came out from that. Hillary did it, said the Wall Street Journal a week or two ago. Hillary did it. She was responsible. She signed off on it. So said Robbie Mook. Yeah, she said, hey, let's unleash this. There's no truth to it, I know, but look, this is political opposition. This is opposition research. We got to smear this guy. We got to keep him out of office. More has been revealed. There's many conservatives I know disgusted with John Durham at the moment. Bill Barr, by the way, had some interesting takes last night on Fox News. Listen to what he said, clip 8.
While he did not succeed in getting a conviction from the D.C. jury, I think he accomplished something far more important, which is he brought out the truth in two important areas. First, I think he crystallized the central role played by the Hillary campaign in launching as a dirty trick the whole Russiagate collusion narrative and fanning the flames of it. And second, I think he exposed really dreadful behavior by the supervisors in the FBI, the senior ranks of the FBI, who knowingly used this information to start an investigation of Trump and then duped their own agents by lying to them and refusing to tell them what the real source of that information was. And that was appalling.
He's exposed the Hillary campaign and the corrupt agents at the FBI. It's a pity that he didn't do something about this when he was the Attorney General of the United States of America. So much of this was going on his watch. It's so easy to come along as a talking head on TV later and talk tough, especially when you're selling a book. But there he is, I guess, disagreeing with some conservatives like Andy McCarthy and others, saying that, you know, Durham blew it. he blew it. He made it seem like the FBI was, they were just duped by this, and when in fact they were complicit. They were part of the attack. And Bill Barr is basically saying, just give it a little bit more time. Well, it's been 3 years, and a lot's been exposed, and no one's in jail yet, including Sussman. Listen to this one from last night, clip 9.
What this episode should remind us about is that we don't just throw people in jail, and the Attorney General does not have the power to throw people in jail because the Attorney General believes, even with a high degree of confidence, that people have acted improperly. He has to prove his case beyond a reasonable doubt before a jury.
Right, so he's got to go through the exercise, sit in front of a jury, even if they're coming from Washington, D.C., try to prove that Sussman is guilty. We can't just, look, as much as the evidence might be damning, we can't just throw them in jail right away, unless they protested on January 6th. Then, of course they should go to jail. They should rot away in jail, awaiting their trial. Merrick Garland does it. Yeah, well, there he is. You see, just in his comments and looking at what's happening today, you see, as he brought out himself in this exchange on Fox News, there's a double standard. I mean, if it's a Republican trying to expose a radical, lawless Democrat, they've got to do everything by the book. The evidence has to be overwhelming. And even still, as one of the jury members said, look, There's bigger issues that we need to worry about, not Sussman. So we gave him a not guilty. We gave him a full acquittal. Yeah, unanimous. All 12 of us. Yeah, he's off scot-free. He can lie. He can be Hillary's hatchet man. He can create this false narrative with Danchenko and all the other players involved. And never have to pay the consequences for his illegal activity. Well, I mean, the FBI, they've got an office right there in Perkins Coie. They're one and the same. So you can't go after the FBI. At the very least, okay, the FBI, maybe a few of them were duped. But they weren't part of the plot. They weren't part of the conspiracy. You can't go there. Listen again to Bill Barr from last night, clip 10.
No one is more frustrated than the law enforcement people who are trying to uphold the law and try to uphold one standard of the law. And they're not. There are two standards of the law, and we've had to struggle with that.
There are two standards of the law? That's quite a revelation. That's from an attorney general, a former attorney general, worked under Trump. And, of course, through those remaining months or those final months, those disastrous months, really, for Bill Barr, he presided over that office or was in that office during the election of 2020. That was all perfect. The double standard and the Democrats getting one standard and the Republicans another standard, none of that came into play with respect to all of that crazy, strange, bizarre activity going on the night of the election, November 3rd, 2020. One final clip, clip 11.
And part of this operation is to try to get the real story out. And I think the Danchenko prosecution is going to further amplify these themes and the role that the FBI leadership played in this, which is increasingly looking fishy and inexplicable.
So we'll see. We'll see. He takes the view that, hey, more and more is coming out. The full story is being told. And at some point, perhaps, the hammer will drop. To this point, all of these traitors, all of these treasonous agents, they've gotten off scot-free. But God's exposing them. We've talked about that on this program, and he is right. The revelations from Mook and other things that came out from this trial. And there are other indications. A lot of people dissatisfied. You heard it in that opening montage, all of these Latino voters saying, yeah, it's a communist infiltration, and I don't want to be a part of it. And some of these, you know, the thing that's interesting here, some of these Latinos have come out of communist countries. So they know. They know that Donald Trump is a patriot, and they're embracing him more and more. 10 points over 2016, and from what we can tell, based on MSNBC's reporting, more and more of them are embracing, if you can believe it, the bad orange man. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Yesterday in our Bible study segment, we gave you a quote from the former prophets where it talked about just how important it is for, you know, someone that's skilled on the battlefield, a great military general like Napoleon. Again, he was a ruthless dictator. He was the head of the fifth head of the Holy Roman Empire. But he was a master tactician when it comes to military strategy. And my father makes the point in the former prophets that we've got to study the lives of great generals and apply some of those lessons to our spiritual warfare, this good warfare that we're engaged in. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 18 says that. Ephesians 6, almost the entire chapter is devoted to spiritual armor, putting on the whole armor of God and just being clothed in the truth and then using the sword of truth as your primary spiritual weapon, using the Bible to go forward and to advance, to go on the offensive. This is from the sixth chapter of How to Be an Overcomer. I plugged this yesterday. The Science of Spiritual Warfare. My father says, Napoleon put a premium on speed and mobility. His enemies wanted to wage war in a more leisurely fashion. That's a big reason they were so often his victims. Waging war casually will get you killed. And that's why there's so many patriots in the United States just absolutely beside themselves over the pace of fighting back. You know, 3 years this investigation goes on. For 3 years, exposing Hillary Clinton, exposing Barack Obama, exposing the FBI as treasonous agents. All of them. And yet nothing happens. The traitors are just roaming the country. They're in Washington, D.C., many of them. Continuing on with this fundamental transformation, you've got to go in with some speed. You've got to go in on the attack. You've got to take the offensive. Aren't those comments from Bill Barr just so interesting? Look, he's got to make the case and compile the evidence, and it takes time. And at one point in that exchange on Fox, Bill Barr said, you know, it's kind of annoying to me, these people that say, well, they should be in jail, or that person should be in jail. Well, they should be. They should be. In a fair and just society, they would be. But everything's got to line up just perfectly for these communists to finally be convicted. I mean that in the go to jail sense. They're certainly convicted of their radical ideological beliefs. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it says, to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. See, there's some real powerful lessons that we can take away from this point made in chapter 6 of the How to Be an Overcomer booklet. that we've got to move with speed. We've got to act on God's truth. We can't take it casual. We can't say, well, I like what's said there. I like what I'm hearing. But, you know, because of this circumstance or this predicament that I'm in at the moment, I can't really act on that. I mean, that would upset everything. That would turn things right on its head. I mean, I've got to, you know, kind of wait this out and be a little bit more casual about it. That's not the way that Napoleon was when he approached the enemy. He went after it. He caught him by surprise a lot of times. It says here, this is from, I think, Andrew Roberts' book. Napoleon had crossed the, this is what he accomplished in 1 year's time. He had crossed the Apennines and the Alps, defeated the Sardinian army and no fewer than six Austrian armies, and killed, wounded, or captured 120,000 Austrian soldiers. I mean, he just raced across Europe. It was a race against time in some cases. 12 military victories in 12 months. How many victories are we claiming? You know, that's really what's brought out in the last couple of chapters of this book, The Science of Spiritual Warfare. And then the final chapter of this book is on offensive warfare. And it makes the point that we've got to go after the victory. We have to get some wins under our belt. And it's amazing. It begins to build momentum. If we can just claim one victory after another, the first point that my father makes in the Napoleon chapter, or the science of spiritual warfare, is that we need a high morale. Napoleon talked about the esprit de corps. This is from the Overcomer booklet. It says, Napoleon was always aware of the vital importance of morale in warfare. He quotes from a biographer saying that, and another of his best-known maxims declared that in war, the morale is to the physical as 3-1. With high morale, a general will win 3 times as many battles. So Jesus was talking over and again. The last night, right before he was to be crucified, he was speaking about the joy of the eternal. He was praying to God, Father, fill these disciples with joy. Give them a high morale. Give them a positive outlook. Look at Hebrews 10. I've made this point before, but read the last few verses of Hebrews 10 as it leads into the faith chapter. All of these heroic acts, individuals in Hebrews 11 that just trusted God above all else. They searched for a city whose maker, whose builder was God. Abraham did. They saw the kingdom vision. They saw far into the future. And then that filled their lives with hope, with positivity, with joy. With a step forward attitude. Right before that chapter, of course, Paul says, hey, we in the church, we're not of those who draw back from a challenge. We confront it. We step forward. We go after it. We go on the offensive. And you read about those heroes in Hebrews 11, and in every single example that Paul gives there, what's described is, you know, some patriarch or matriarch doing something, building an ark, leading the people of Israel, sacrificing their life. It's an inspiring study, Hebrews 11. But just read the last few verses of chapter 10 as you get into it. Chapter 6 of How to Be an Overcomer, it says, if you really have the spirit God wants you to have, the high morale, you're going to win 3 battles where you would normally win 1. The morale that Napoleon prized is sometimes called esprit de corps, the spirit and enthusiasm of the group, loyalty to each other and to the cause. I mean, we do need support from the group. In the individual sense, we've got to work out our own salvation, as Philippians 2:12 says. But what a spirit running through the family of God, the disciples of Christ. The dictionary.com, it says this of esprit de corps. It says, a sense of unity and of common interests and responsibilities as developed among a group of persons closely associated in a task, cause, or enterprise. This is what Webster's has to say about morale. says the mental and emotional condition as of enthusiasm, confidence, or loyalty of an individual or group with regard to the function or tasks at hand. It says a sense of common purpose with respect to a group. Esprit de corps, it says, the level of individual psychological well-being based on such factors as a sense of purpose and confidence in the future. Is that the way you approach your spiritual battles? Do you come into it with that kind of positive, hopeful, joyous mindset? It's amazing, the fruits of the Spirit. Again, if God's Spirit's working in you, Paul told Timothy, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The love there is speaking of God's love, agape love. If you have that love, you can go over to Galatians 5 and read about the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. These are the fruits that it brings forth in your life. The first one mentioned, of course, is the love of God, agape love. But then right after that, it says joy. I mean, if you love God, if you love serving God, if you love helping God, then your life is going to overflow with joy. You're going to have that high morale that you need in your battle against sin, in this good warfare that we're in. Of course, there will be trials and tests, but even those, the Bible tells us that we're to rejoice in our trials. We're to give God thanks for our trials. Because if it strengthens our faith, if it turns us to trusting in God more deeply, then that's a good thing. That's a good thing. If in this life only we have hope, we're going to end up miserable. God wants us to put our hope, our faith, our confidence in Him, in His kingdom, in His righteousness. In the Overcomer booklet, it says this, that is what we need in our war, high morale. How is your morale in this war? How is your morale right now? It says Napoleon would travel with his soldiers, and sometimes they would be away from home for months or years. At times he couldn't pay them, couldn't even feed them, yet he kept his armies intact. How did he do that? Well, he had this spirit of victory. He had this spirit of conquering. He had claimed some victories and some wins along the way. And this is how, in large part, how he kept up his troops' morale. Now, there's other points to be made about how Napoleon circulated among the troops. He rewarded those who had especially courageous behavior on the battlefield. He was good at working with people. It says, how does a man convince an army of men to live off the land much of the time, away from their families with no pay, and yet when it's time to fight, get those soldiers to fight with high morale? It's remarkable, really. He had high morale, and that was, as you can see from history, I mean, he finally did lose, of course, but it was infectious when his machine was on its rampage. I mean, they just waltzed right across Europe, claiming one victory after another after another. How important is it for us in God's army to maintain a high morale, to have that spirit, that esprit de corps spirit of unity and love and togetherness, that we're all in this together, that we're locked arm in arm, a band of brothers fighting for God. Soldiers, good soldiers, not getting entangled in the affairs of this life, like 2 Timothy 2 brings out, but really committed to teaching others, training others, other disciples, children of ours. Right at the end of this booklet, by the way, it talks about, it's quoting Churchill, basically, who looked at these ominous dark clouds circling Britain in the lead up to World War II, and Churchill saw that as an opportunity. He said, what an opportunity for our youth to step up and to fight for their nation. Well, that's a separate study, I suppose. We can get into the opportunities that God's given to our youth at another time, but we'll leave on that point because we have to. We're out of time. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to email the show. We've gotten some wonderful emails. We'll get to them soon enough. I apologize for not reading through more of them. TD@thetrumpet.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.